Good morning again. A lot of things happening today. How many of you were here on January the 24th, 2016, on day one? Yeah, that was a fun day, wasn't it? And here you are a couple of years down the road, and what an amazing journey it is. I love to tell the story of Movement Church, and I tell it all the time. I'm sure I miss a lot of pieces. I don't know everything, but I love to tell the story. And when I walked in this morning, I thought, I was here. I sat right over there and joined in with a large group of people. And it is such an honor for Becky and I to be back and to be a part of today's service. We love your pastors. We've been a part of their lives, and they've been a part of our lives. We just go on this journey together. And so, Pastor Chris, thank you so much. If you don't know my wife, Becky, she's sitting right there by Pastor Chris. Why don't you stand, wave, whatever. We've been on this journey together a long time. There's something about this church. Every time I leave her, some other guy goes and sits beside her. I don't know what's going on here. I love it. I love it. Well, hey, let's jump right into God's Word this morning. It really is an honor to be here, and I really am so proud of everything that God is doing here. The subject that I want to talk about today, the message, really is not a new word, but it's a theme that you really can't hang around the kingdom of God. You can't hang around God or His people without encountering this theme in almost every aspect of our lives. I have been exposed to this theme. As a matter of fact, if I had a theme sermon, if you will, this would be it. This would be the theme of my life. And if you, I was in my own life, I've been exposed to this subject since my birth. Even before my birth, I was influenced and impacted by this. And the theme that I want to talk to you about today for these next few moments is simply the word blessing. You encounter this word everywhere you go. It was part of our dedication today. But more specifically, I want to talk to us about generational blessing. Generational blessing. If you take the Word of God, whether you have the physical Bible that I hold in my hand or your electronic version, and you open the Word of God, you'll find that blessing is a dominant theme in the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20, or chapter 10, rather, verse 22 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and He adds no sorrow with it." There's a richness that comes from the blessing of God. The Message version simply says, "God's blessing makes life rich." I remember a number of years ago, I was getting ready to speak, and actually an entire sermon on this theme, and I decided to do a word search in the Bible to just find out how often does this theme show up. So I keyed into my computer program the word bless, blessed, and blessing, and all of a sudden, man, a lot of scripture started popping up, and I began to see just page after page after page, and I thought, I want to print those out. I'm a little old school in that regard, and so I began to print those. I hit print, and the printer started printing those pages, and I stood there, and it printed page after page after page after page. I'll never forget it, 42 pages of scripture. 467 reference points, and it was almost like I could hear the voice of God whisper into my heart and say, "Son, do you get it? I'm serious about this subject called blessing." Now, let me tell you this morning, don't ever cheapen the blessing of God by trying to measure it with an earthly measurement. Because I'll tell you up front, the blessing of God is bigger than any house you'll ever live in. It's nicer than any car you'll ever drive. It's bigger than the bank account. You cannot measure blessing with an earthly measurement. But I want us to think about generational blessing, leaving a legacy of blessing. We just dedicated a baby here within a family. Think about what you might be able to impart to those around you, whether it's your child or your grandchildren or your neighbor or your coworker, but leaving a legacy of blessing. It's so sad that so often we tend to be more familiar with generational curse than we do generational blessing. And I'm not going to go there this morning, But I want you to listen and receive this message this morning for these next few moments from wherever you are, whether you're a parent or a grandparent, whether you're single or married, whatever your place in life, listen and receive it. If you'll receive this word, I can assure you it will change your life. I want to invite you to go on a journey with me for these next few moments as we just kind of dig into the Word of God. There are so many scriptures that we could go to, but Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 6 says that punishment for sin is to the third and fourth generations. Now, the sad thing about that is, though, often when we read that scripture, we stop right there. But it doesn't stop there. It says punishment for sin is to the third and the fourth generations, but love extends to 1,000 generations. That gives us a hint that the blessing of God expressed through the love of God, the blessing of God is so much greater than any curse that we will ever encounter in life. Psalm 103, verse 17, His righteousness is with their children's children. That lets me know that as a parent and as a grandparent, what God does in my heart, in my life, the journey that I'm on, the righteousness of God that God produces in my life, doesn't stop here. But that righteousness extends to the children's children. My grandchildren today that don't even comprehend, don't even understand that, their lives are being impacted by the righteousness that God is producing in me. Does that make sense? Luke chapter 1, verse number 50. His mercy extends from generation to generation. Now you're going to see a theme here, because what God is doing is never designed to just stop with us. His mercy extends from generation to generation. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 20. It was by faith that Isaac promised blessing for the future to his son. So here's a father promising blessings to his sons, Jacob and Esau. And listen to these words from Genesis chapter 12. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you." Now, that's a good word to receive from God to us. I will bless you. But he doesn't stop there. "I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." Let me pause just for a moment, because I think we always need to understand the blessing of God is never designed to stop with you. It's never designed to be a gift that we receive and we say, "Oh, wow, look what God gave me." It's never designed to stop with you. It says, "You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." There's the flow of blessing. I can tell you today, I know that every one of us have our own stories and our own history, but I'm a product of generational blessing in so many ways. I could tell you a lot of stories today, but from the earliest days of my childhood, I remember going to my grandparents' house. I didn't understand it, the things I'm talking about this morning, but going to my grandparents' house and being able to spend the night with my grandparents, with my younger brother. And I just have so many memories of this, where that, you know, going to grandparents' house is always an adventure. It doesn't really matter who you happen to be. It is always an adventure when you get to go to grandparents' house. And my brother and I would go to bed at night, and we would have all these dreams about all the things we were going to do the next day. We'd wake up early the next morning, and we'd be thinking, we're going to sneak out, you know. We're going to get a good start on the day. And we would crack open the door thinking we're the first ones up. But every single memory that I have, when we cracked open that door to walk out, my grandfather was already up. It was then that we realized that early for my grandfather was different than early for us. And we would slip out there, and my grandfather would be there, and he would be sitting in his rocking chair. I have this picture in my mind. He would be sitting in his rocking chair, his Bible in his hands, open, reading the Word of God, spending time with God. Now, from a natural perspective, a person could say, "It's no big deal." But I'm here to tell you it's a big deal. You see, what my grandfather was doing as he rolled out of bed and was spending time with God had impact on me. It was influencing me before I even knew it was influencing me. Does that make sense? There was an impartation that was taking place of the blessing of God. It didn't stop there. My grandparents were people that just loved God. They were in love with God. They spent time with God. They were part of a church. They were faithful in church. And in those days, you went to church a lot. Every time the doors were open, my grandparents were there, and they had their spot. Now, I don't know if you do this around here, but church people have a tendency to kind of sit in the same place. And my grandparents, their spot was on the second row on the right-hand side in that little church where they were a part of. And they were there all the time. And I remember as a little boy going with them, with my grandparents, and being a part of the worship services and seeing what God was doing. But I didn't realize that what God was doing in their lives was impacting my life. It was impacting my life. They were faithful. My grandparents were never musicians. They weren't speakers. They really weren't upfront people. They just loved God. But their relationship with God impacted my life. I'm a big believer in generational blessing. The power of generational blessing, the strength of generational blessing, the impact of that in our lives. But the question is, how do we pass it on? How do we pass it on? I want to get practical for the next few moments, and I think we can get an idea on some of this from Joshua chapter 24, where Joshua is coming to the close of his life, and he is sharing his final words with the children of Israel. And as you come to these verses, God saying to them that here, I gave you land you did not work on, towns you did not build, vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. In other words, God is reminding them, I have blessed you. Is there anybody here that can relate to that? God has given you blessing that you had nothing to do with. God has just blessed you in your life. But now he says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving him seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Could we just kind of make that declaration this morning? Would you join with me and say that out loud? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's do it one more time. I like the sound of that. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So how do you pass it on? He gives us some insight in these scriptures. Don't have time to camp out very long here, but he says, first of all, if you want to pass on generational blessing, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. In other words, don't play games with God. This thing called a relationship with God is not some Sunday game that we play. It's not some religious game that we play. This is the most important thing in our lives. My wife and I had a counseling time a few days ago with a young couple that she is getting ready to perform her first wedding as a credentialed minister. And she said, I want you to be a part of this. And we were sitting there and we're talking to this couple. And I remember looking for a moment to be able to say to them, hey, guys, This marriage that you're getting ready to plan toward is really, really wonderful. You do realize it's probably the second most important decision you'll ever make in your life. What's the first? That relationship with God. Where does God fit into my life? How do I respond to God? How do I respond to his love being expressed toward me? Listen to Proverbs 28, verse 14. Blessed is the man who always fears the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 120 says, my flesh trembles in fear of you. I stand in awe of your laws. You begin to get a sense of the fear of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11, Noah in holy fear built an ark to save his family. What we're talking about here is stewardship of life based on the fear of the Lord. Now, we're not talking about being afraid of God, of course. But what we're talking about is understanding that he's God, I'm not. And we understand who he is, that this is his word. I don't treat this book like any other book that I ever place in my hands. I don't approach God in a way that is not aware of the awesomeness of God and a sense of awe and a sense of honor toward God. And I understand every single day that there will be a day that I'll stand before God and I'll be held accountable for the way that I live my life. Let me tell you, the blessing of the Lord starts with the fear of the Lord. And then he says, serve him with all faithfulness. In other words, practice devotion and consistency. This is not just, you know, a banner that we wave. It's not just a bumper sticker that we might put on a vehicle. This is not just it's not just something that we talk about, but serve him with all faithfulness. It's a lifestyle of devotion. If you want to pass on generational blessing, practice devotion and consistency. He's talking about faithfulness. I know faithfulness is not that, it's not that thing that everyone tends to say, oh man, what I want more than anything else in life is just to be faithful. We tend to chase after a lot of other things. But if you want to pass on generational blessing, be faithful. Be faithful in serving God. Be faithful in your giving. Be faithful in your worship. Be faithful in your relationship with God. In every dimension of life, be faithful. One Sunday morning a while back, we were in a community where we were going to be in church. I was going to be speaking. And early that morning in the hotel, Becky had some worship music playing. And there was a simple song that caught my attention. And it simply said, Jesus, I'll do what you say. Could I just suggest to you this morning, that's what faithfulness is. I'll do it on Monday, and I'll do it on Tuesday, and I'll do it at 4 p.m. on Wednesday afternoon. And if you check in with me on Thursday, I'll still be there. And on Friday, and on Saturday, and on Sunday. Faithfulness is simply doing it every single day. Not on and off and in and out. But if you want to pass on generational blessing, be faithful. I told you about my grandfather just a little bit. Years passed. My grandfather, I remember getting the call that my grandfather had passed away. He was about 94 years old, I believe it was, and my mom called and said, Mike, Papa passed away last night and wanted to get the word to you. And then as we talked a little further, she said, do you think you could preach Papa's funeral? And I said, wow, that's quite an honor. But what an honor it was. And I said, I just want one thing. Bring me Papa's Bible. Bring me that Bible. I knew that Bible. I don't know that I had ever held my grandfather's Bible in my hand until that moment. But I remember opening that Bible up, and it was like I was holding something that was invaluable, a treasure. I mean, the pages were tattered and torn, and there were places where his tears had rolled down his cheeks and fallen on the pages of that Bible. There were scriptures that were underlined. What a treasure it was that speak of the blessing of the Lord. And I had the privilege of preaching my grandfather's funeral. I mentioned earlier that my grandparents had a special place, second row right on the end. I mean, they were there every time the doors were open. And as I preached my grandfather's funeral, something a little bit, at least humorous to us, was brought to my attention. To really understand this, you have to understand my grandfather. My grandfather was a little short, fat guy. And when I say a little short and fat, I'm telling you, he was short. And fat, but he was short. He was so short, as a matter of fact, that when he sat on the church pews in that day, his feet just barely touched the ground. And in those days, we didn't stand and worship like we do today. But in those days, they have it had a tendency, they were singing out of hymn books, and they would sit and they would worship. And one of the things that would happen, and we all have our own little habits that we don't even know we have. But for decades, my grandparents had sat in that place and they had worshiped God. And during the worship, one of the things that had transpired, I'm sure not just during the worship, but maybe during the sermon, that from time to time, my grandfather, his feet would just swing back and forth and barely touch the hardwood floors that were there. And I remember someone coming up to me after the sermon, after the funeral with my grandfather, and they said, Mike, you might be interested to see something. And they took me over to where my grandparents had sat in those pews for decades. And there was a spot on the floor, the hardwood floor, about this large, where all of the finish was worn off of that hardwood floor. And I remember looking at that and thinking, man, that's crazy. My grandfather did that? How did he do that? He just showed up week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. And his worship of God, it wouldn't mean anything to anyone else. But do you understand that his faithfulness had an impartation impact of blessing on my life? I am the recipient of blessing because my grandfather was faithful. It's more than a place on a hardwood floor. But Joshua said, if you want to pass it on, serve him with all faithfulness. The third thing Joshua said to them is, throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped. In other words, make a total break with the world. Make a total break with the world. If you really want to pass this on, don't play games with God. Have the fear of the Lord in your life. Serve him with all faithfulness, but make a break with the world. There's no place for hypocrisy in our lives. What we're talking about is the integrity of Christianity. The integrity of Christianity. Not just saying I'm a Christ follower, but living as a Christ follower. And that means that my life today is different than my life was before I invited Jesus to come into my life. I would suggest to us today, your family really needs to know where you are in relationship with God. They need to see your coworkers, those fellow students, whoever that you do life with. They need to see the relationship with God lived out through your life. Make a total break with the world, because curse does not reproduce blessing. We've got to pass on blessing. And then the fourth thing that I see in Joshua's words are simply this: choose for yourself. Consider the impact of your choices. The choices that you and I are making they're not just for us. They're not just for us. He says, choose this day who you will serve. We make a lot of choices. We make choices every single day. Some of them we think about, some of them we consider, some of them we just make choices. But those choices are not just for you. Someone is watching you. Someone is paying attention to you. Someone is taking note of the things that you're doing. They're listening to you. And your choices are a reflection of your values. You hang around a person very long, just pay attention to their choices and you'll begin to understand. Those choices are a reflection of the values. They determine your destiny, and your choices always impact others. I hear people, and you do as well, saying, this is my life, I can make my own choices, it only impacts me. Wrong. Your choices impact others. And somebody's paying attention. Your children are paying attention. Your grandchildren are paying attention. Your coworkers are paying attention. Years ago, our oldest son, Jason, had gone off to Bible school, fell in love with a girl from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Over a period of time, their relationship developed, and finally, they got word to us that they were going to get married, and we were going to have the first wedding of our generation in the Dickinson household, and it was going to be in Baton Rouge. And so our whole family gathered in Baton Rouge, both my brothers and their wives and their kids, and everyone showed up. My parents were part of that. I mean, it was a big deal. You can all relate to this in some fashion or another. And we got there, and of course, it was good for the family to all come together, and it was a lot of fun. And the ladies, I mean, they rolled up their sleeves and they got into wedding mode in a hurry, and they were decorating and they were making all the plans and all of those things that were a part of the wedding plans for that weekend. It wasn't long until the grandkids got tired of all the wedding plans, and they wanted to do some other stuff. And so my brothers and I had our children, the rest of the kids, and we were just kind of hanging out at the little hotel where we were, and the kids got tired of hanging out there, and finally some of them, they said, hey, there's the little theme park just right across the parking lot. How about us going over there and just having some fun? And so we all got together, and we're walking across the parking lot. You've got to picture this. We're walking across the parking lot. I'm walking with my youngest brother. He has three daughters. Their youngest daughter at that time was probably about 4 years old. And we're walking across the parking lot, and as we're walking across, we're just talking, and I mean, we're just having fun, just walking across the parking lot, and all of a sudden, picture this cute little four-year-old girl holding her daddy's hand, walking across the parking lot, and all of a sudden, she clears her throat, and she spits this wad of saliva out on the parking lot. And I looked at her, and I said, "Jordan, where in the world did you learn to spit like that?" And she squared her shoulders and she looked up at me and she said, "My daddy taught me." How did he teach her? Did they have sessions on Saturday morning? Where? Did he have conversations with her? Did he line up her bigger sisters to say, "Now watch how Lauren does this and watch"? I mean, how did this happen? It didn't have to happen like that. None of that had to happen. The only thing that had to happen was for Jordan, a little four-year-old girl, to hang around with her father who made choices that he didn't even think about. He never one time thought, "Now I've got to be careful how I spit today because my little girl is watching me." No, he didn't have to do any of that. All he had to do was to make the choices day after day after day after day, and a little girl was paying attention and listening and watching. And a little girl was saying, "I want to spit like my daddy." I would suggest to us this morning that when Joshua said, choose for yourselves this day who you're going to serve, he really wanted to remind us that our choices have major, major impact. Now let me pause real quickly to say this. Please don't hear this word this morning in condemnation. Every one of us, if we look back over our shoulders, have made some choices that we wish we would not have made. This is not about beating yourself up. You can't change the choices you made yesterday. But as we begin to have a forward focus with this theme of generational blessing, think about the choices that you make, because your choices will make a difference. And then finally, Joshua closes this out with a statement that we all said a little bit earlier. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We will. I want you to notice the intentionality of that. This is not a hope so, maybe so, wishing kind of thing. No, this is, I will do this. I want this relationship with God. I want it not just for me, but for my household. And so as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord on purpose, by design. This is the priority. Let me close with this and go back to Hebrews chapter 11. I quoted this verse earlier. It says that Noah, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. You know the story of Noah. God looks upon the face of the earth and he sees sin everywhere. But he sees Noah as a righteous man. And he says, "Noah, you're going to be the avenue through which I'm going to save humanity." But he says, "I've got a building program for you, building project." And he gave him the assignment to build the ark, 100-year building project, 100-year building project. Remember, Noah, in holy fear, built an ark. Do you think Noah felt like building every day? Do you think Noah ever felt like quitting? I mean, we have projects that take a few hours and we want to quit. Do you think there were moments, there were mornings when Noah started to roll out of bed to go work on the ark that he thought, "Man, my back is killing me today. I'm done with this." What was it that kept Noah going? Holy fear. Noah in holy fear. He understood he had a mandate from God, a directive from God, and he went to work day after day, decade after decade, 100 years building this ark. Noah in holy fear, intentional about that. Do you want to see the payoff? Fast forward this. Genesis chapter 8. This is about a year after the flood began. And now it's time for Noah and his family to leave the ark. Noah and his family, his wife and his sons and their wives. So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives. I want you to picture that in your mind. Because that 100 years of Noah building that ark, begin to see the payoff as Noah walks out. He doesn't walk out alone. Let me remind you again, the blessing of God is never designed to stop with you. The blessing of God impacts other people. It impacts other people. Verse number 20, then Noah built an altar to the Lord. He gathers his family around, and they build an altar to the Lord, and he honors God. And then in chapter 9, verse number 1, then God blessed Noah and his sons. We're talking about generational blessing. I don't know where you are this morning, but let me tell you, generational blessing starts, and for some of you sitting here, even as I've been talking this morning, you've had reflective thoughts on family members, a mom, a dad, maybe grandparents. For some of you, you're saying, man, I didn't have any of that. But can I just tell you, generational blessing for many of you, it starts with you. You're the beginning. You're the beginning. You may not have that heritage that I've talked about this morning, but it can start with you. And so this morning, I want to pray. I want to pray over you as we close this service. I want to pray over us. Because I believe God wants you to not only be the recipient of generational blessing, but a carrier of generational blessing. Would you stand with me all over the building as we prepare to pray? As we bow our hearts in prayer, let me just say just before I pray this morning that you may find yourself just reflecting on what we've talked about today. And you may need to make some changes in your life. You need to make some adjustments. There may be some things that you need to correct. Maybe as we talked about faithfulness, God spoke to you. As we talked about the fear of the Lord, maybe the choices or the intentionality. Maybe you're even here and you've never invited Jesus to come into your own heart. But today then can be the day for that. As I pray this morning, as I pray this closing prayer, let me just tell you, God wants to be a part of your life. Jesus died for you to be your Savior. And you can invite him into your heart today. And there are a lot of people that are more than willing to talk more about that with you at the close of the service. But I want to pray over you right now. Father, I thank you today. Thank you, God, that you allow us to be a part of your kingdom. Thank you that you allow us to be your sons and your daughters. God, we're so blessed. I thank you for your word today, God, that you've spoken to us, God. And I pray, Lord, that we will be aware of generational blessing, but God, that we will walk in it with gratitude, and that we will not only be the recipients, but we really will pass it on. I pray, God, that we'll make the right choices. God, if there's someone here this morning that has never made that choice, or maybe they've been off track in some way, and today they're just feeling drawn back to you, I pray that today will be a day to reconnect with you and the heart of God and everything that you desire to do in our lives. And even if there's someone that's never invited you into their heart, today is the day. Help us, God, to be your children, to honor you, to serve you, and to pass on generational blessing. We give you praise today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming this morning, being a part of this service. God bless you as you are dismissed. It's been great to be with you today.